I can walk with him, talk to him. And all right. Tonight, if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. We're gonna be speaking about an individual that spent the last night in town where he was living at that time. And I expect probably some of you know who I'm probably going to be speaking about. But spent the last night in town. Can you ever remember when you went on vacation and you'd go on vacation, you'd go a week or you'd be there a week or 3 or 4 days or whatever. And then you done went in and you done took in all the surroundings, all what people do today. They take in the shops and everything, and they do, you know, go around and see the different things in that community and the places that where you went and visited. But then you would always come to that place that it would be the last night that you would spend the night there. That you wouldn't be thinking about the couple, 2 or 3 days later, but you'd be thinking about the next day in your journey back home or back where you was headed to. But In vacations, when we go on vacation or go out, you know, we'll take the journey back home. But you know, we still have to think about the time that when we leave. We gotta come up with a specific time. We gotta get everybody together, the ones that wants to go back with us and everything, and hopefully if the family will, the ones that traveled with us and everything, they'll want to come back. But they always have something that they feel inside about. And it's not the thing about going home, but it's what it's all about is what they're going back to. And they've been stress-free for 3 or 4 days or a week. They haven't had to worry about this or worry about that. And I know sometimes people, they'll go and they'll spend $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 going on 3 or 4 or 5 day vacation. And you know, and really they're going to spend that money. They spend it because they're having a good time. They forgot about all the problems and the trials and tribulations that they was going through at home. They're there to wipe all of that away. But you never wipe it all away. You do for a few days because you're having so much fun, because you see other things that's happening around you. And you see different places, different businesses and different people. But here is a man that he spent his last night in town. And he knew the next day that he was going to have to make a decision. And the decision was going to be about him, his family, and his wife. That they need to come together with a time. And doing all of that, they was also working against the wickedness that was around them at the time, in the worldliness. And because of that, they was not yielding any kind of fruit. They weren't even thinking about their livelihood or maybe doing something for somebody else. They weren't thinking about that. There was, because they had so much going on against them, and they didn't, well, Lot didn't like it. Lot, he didn't like all the what was going on in the town right here in Sodom. He didn't want to have to really leave that place, because he went there for a reason. And he went there to tell the people there about the gospel. But you know, we as Christians today, we're just like we were back then. We think if we go out and visit somebody, the people we're supposed to go and visit is the religious crowd or the people that go to church, but they're not really all that faithful into going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whatever night they're supposed to be going. But they're having to think about other things that they're facing, the troubles and the trials. And it's just like I've said in the last couple, two or three weeks, that we do not know what people are facing. We do not know what kind of trouble that the people are facing. We don't know what problems that's going to arise tomorrow. Today, everything looks good. Everything looks okay. But we do not know what the next day is going to bring for us until we step into that day. And we have to remember one thing, that we always must be in a prayerful way, in a yielding way unto the Lord, that the Lord would help us to walk through that day. But we as people, and I'm not going to use the word Christian now, but we as people, we don't understand the things that a whole lot of people do. We don't understand why they won't come to church. We don't understand why they won't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe in some of the things that goes on around us. And then turn around, and the same people that we do not believe what's going around us, they will come back and they will say something about, which church you going to? Which church you going to? What do you believe in? I mean, then it got to the point of the religious crowd. And we have a whole lot of religious people. We have a whole lot of religious people in this community. I have a whole lot of religious people like that in my community, where I live at. But see, they use the word religion like it's that they want people to think about you know, I'm okay with the Lord. I go to church. Well, back in the days when Jesus was going around, Jesus did not go to the religious crowd. He did not go out and go to the synagogues and go in and teach them what they're doing wrong. He went and he went to the whoremongers. He went to the drunkards. He went to the world itself. He didn't go to the religious crowd because he knew that the religious crowd wasn't going to believe what he said. And we're facing the same thing today. We're facing the same thing. I know that I can go out here and I can probably pick 10 or 15 different places to go and visit this week. And just hoping and praying that somebody there will listen. If there's number one individual that will come in and would give the heart and the life to Jesus and get saved and get in church and get faith in church and get in there where they can really help themselves and help the pastor, help the teachers, and help everybody just come into church after they get saved and say, Pastor, what would you want me to do? What can I do? What can I do to help the church? That always takes me back to an individual that he was instrumental in helping me to stay in church after I got saved. And you probably all know him. I know you probably heard of his name. And his name was David Riddle. He was a small man. When you saw David Riddle, you just saw a stalk. Because that's how small he was. But he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he told me many times, he says, we need to go out there and talk to everybody. We don't need to listen to what they're saying. We need to tell them what Jesus is saying to them. And I agree with that 100%, because a whole lot of times we go out there and we give people, a whole lot of people, our ideas and our thoughts. It's not my thoughts. It's not my ideas. Because I cannot comprehend anything the Lord says. I cannot comprehend it in a way that, where if I say it, it will come out the same way, and it will bring the same convictions. And I said this in speaking about David Riddle. Me and him, we went to a revival over there in Reedville. One Friday night, me and him. And it was Brother Mays Jackson. He was doing the preaching over there that night. Well, that week, really. And that's the first time I'd ever seen him in person. I'd heard him on the radio in the afternoon at 5 o'clock. He was a truck driver special. And he could preach. But what he was doing, he was telling the people the same thing that Jesus was telling the people in his day. And we left that night. When we left, I said something to Brother David. I said, Brother David, I says, won't you pray for me? Just pray hard for me. I said, I want the same type of convictions that he has, that Brother Mays has. I want the convictions that he has, where I can apply them to my life into my ministry, what the Lord wants me to do. And Brother David told me this. He says, you can pray. You can start right now. And you can pray until the rapture takes place. For God to give you that type of convictions that he has. To where you would have the same type of convictions. And you would be praying all of that time. And still, you will not have no convictions. And I said, well, what are you talking about? I said, you know, look like, I mean, I know if you pray, the Lord's supposed to give you what you pray for. He said, but when you pray, you don't pray selfishly. You don't pray for somebody, for you to look at somebody else's life. When you pray, you need to pray. And you need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to allow him to give you the convictions. And he says, some of the convictions that you may end up with, nobody else would see anything wrong with it. And we kept talking. And Brother David, he could explain. I mean, he could get right down to it, and he would explain, because he read the scripture every day. I don't know how many hours he didn't spend in it in a day or something. But he knew the scripture. But he just didn't, one thing he didn't do that I learned from him is that he just didn't come out and quote it. He always come out and he read it. He read the scripture. He read what the Word of God said. Because see, if we read, and I know that, I even make the mistakes right now. For me just standing up here and just trying to read and get every word out right. But he says you can take one word in a verse and you can forget about, not pronounce that word, not even allow that word to be in the verse. He said it turns everything around. It makes that whole verse go in a different direction. And it doesn't mean the same thing when you put all the words in it. He said, because you can go back and you can take and you can say, well, I'm going to read this verse and I'm going to change a word or two in there and I'm going to maybe leave one or two out. And we'll read it. And we'll say, huh? Why in the world is that verse of scripture there? We have to remember, every verse that we read, we have to remember two things. The first thing is that there's a verse before that verse. Secondly, we have to remember also, it's a verse after that verse. We need to read more than just one verse. We need to read and to study the Word of God. And like I said before, it's a whole lot here in this book that I don't understand. There's a whole lot of it in here I don't want to hear. But as you read it, the Holy Spirit reveals it back to you. You know, it's just like One time, well, sometime, I forgot how long it's been or whatever, but I know y'all probably heard it. I'm sure maybe Brother Lapuvi said something about it. I don't know. But I would say at times, I said, you know, I could take and read the scripture and I can read it. I can reread it. I can research it out. Every word, right down to the syllable, I can study it out. And I can say, there's nothing else I can get out of that verse. Because I've dug and I've looked at different commentaries. I've looked at different references. I've even took other Bibles and looked them up. I've even took the New King James Bible and took it to where that word had changed, really, but the meaning of it hasn't changed. And I said, well, I got everything in that verse. Nothing else I can get out of it. But, you know, when I'm thinking that, and we'll think about that. We do. I think about that when I say, when I come up and I say it. Before I say it, it's already running through my mind. Nothing else I can get out of that verse. Nothing else. You done got it all. It ain't nothing else you can come up with. Ain't nothing nobody else can come up with. They cannot tell me something else. Because I done done it. I done done it. I done got this. I done got everything out of that verse. I can get. In that verse, it's got the word, got the letter, word in that thee. And I've went and I've searched out that verse, and I've got everything that I can get out of the word thee. See why I'm thinking about that? The Holy Spirit comes back and says, how about you reread it? How about you rereading it? And I'm stubborn, just like a whole lot of people are. And I say, I don't need to read it no more. I can't get nothing else out of it. But when I do what the Holy Spirit says, then all the meaning that I got out of it, I'm not even thinking about that anymore. Because he has given me a whole new verse. He's given me new meaning for each and every word that was in that verse. Each and every word that stood the test of time. That's the reason. And I don't understand why a whole lot of preachers and a whole lot of Christians out here can't believe this. And they say, and that's the reason I say, a whole lot of people today say they're Christians. They're not Christians. They've never been saved. And the reason I say that is because they say, they will say, well, this book, I believe what this book says. But then they'll come around, just like that missionary come up and told me. The one that we dropped a couple years ago. Thomas says, I can take a King James Bible and I can bring it down there and I can show it to you. I can show it to everybody's congregation. And I can show you where every lie that's been published is in the King James Bible. I said, sir, you ain't gonna convince me of that. Because this is God's word. God's word. God breathed his very word upon the individuals that penned the words down here. I said, oh yeah. You may can say, you remember that widow lady. Oh, in the book of Kings, you remember what she said? You remember what Job's wife said to Job? Says, do you honestly think God would put in His Word for us to understand that it's God speaking? God speaking? That God would put in the mouth of Job's wife when Job had lost everything and he was sitting on that a pile of coal and everything, ashes? Because the heat of that coal felt better than the pain that he was receiving from the boils. Do you honestly think that God would put them words into her mouth for her to say, honey, I can't stand it any longer. Why don't you just curse God and die? I said, I know where you're going with that. Curse God and die. I said, but what you have to do is, what you're looking at is on the other end. You're looking on Job's life. But you got to take care, you got to look at her life also, what she went through. Oh, yeah, Job went through a whole lot more than she did. Because Job had to face it all. Because God had allowed the devil to come in and take Job and to do what he could to him, but he could not take his life. Could not take his life. But he could do anything else he wanted to him. To him, his family, and everything. Don't you think Job didn't love his family? Yes, Job loved his family. Don't you think Job loved the type of business that he was in and all the wealth that he had built up and everything? But he said he didn't build it up for him to glory over it. The Lord Jesus built it up. What the Lord was trying to do, the Lord was building up everything that Job had where Job could see his inheritance one day. And I said, and you say that what God spoke to her about, curse God and die, that's a lie? Why would God say that? Why would God put that in his word if he didn't believe it? Why would he write it down if he didn't believe it? I said, I want to ask you something. When you left home, when you left your house, or when you walked out your door, did you go automatically and open the driver's door of your automobile? And you got in it without checking the battery, without checking the starter system, without checking the tires, without checking the lights and everything that was on it, and you're about ready to go out in the night, and you didn't know if you're going to have lights or not. No, you didn't think about things like that. You always think about the positive things, and that's what we need to do. We need to think more about it on the positive than we do the negative. But we have more negativity to what people are practicing today than ever before. Lot. He didn't want to leave Sodom. He did not want to leave that place because he knew that God sent him there. What the problem was, it wasn't Lot. The problem was, it was his wife. Because she had kind of mixed in with the crowd. Yeah, if you go out here and if you mix in with the crowd, if you go out here and if you mix yourself in with all the ones that's doing the drinking, all the ones that's doing the cursing and telling the dirty and the filthy jokes, if you're there, yeah, it's going to rub off. It's going to rub off. Some of it's going to rub off on you. And when it does rub off on you, you better watch out. Because it's going to get you. It's going to haunt you. That's what happened to Lot's wife. She just got in with the wrong crowd. She got in with the wicked people. In verse 13 and 14, here in chapter 19, it says, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons, son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord would destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. His son-in-law was telling lots and lots of, "We ain't got no business being here." He says, "Why in the world you brought us here? You know these people are wicked? You know that it's no good going to come out of this situation? Nothing good's going to come out of it. Nothing is good at all going to come out of us being here and telling them what we know about the Lord. None of that's going to come out." Because of the wickedness. See, the wickedness had rubbed off on his sons. Because, see, they was end up thinking about the same things, but in a different way. They didn't want to have anything to do with the people. Well, just think about this. Where would we be at today if Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with us? If Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with me at all, where would I be at? And where would you be at? Where would the people be at? The Lord has given us, ain't no telling how many chances. He's the God of many chances. He's not the God of just one chance and two chances, and then he gives up. No, he's a God of many chances. And we can see that over in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar there, when he turned his back on God. He turned his back on the people there. He turned his back on Daniel. He turned his back on Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He turned his back because they would not bow down to him. That's the reason they would not partake of the food. That's the reason they would not go to the party. It's not because it was ungodly, which it was. That wasn't the reason for it. The reason for it is because they would have to go and stand right there among the people and go to that golden calf that he had built. And they would probably have to bow down and worship it. That's the reason they didn't go. And I want to ask you something. If we here tonight, we leave here, and somebody happened to get in touch with us, either comes by our house or home and give us the information or call us or whatever, that somebody special is going to be down Riverside Drive where Kmart's at. They will have, it's going to be open air. Somebody special. And if you come, every individual that come will receive $1,000. All you have to do is just come. You just come and sit. And when you come, you'll receive the $1,000. And you won't have to wait until everything's been over with before you receive. You receive the $1,000 at the gate when you first come in. Instead of you having to pay to get in, they pay for you to come in. Would we do that? Would we do that and instead of going out and telling somebody about Jesus? I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I probably will do it. Why? Because it's going to benefit me. It's not going to benefit the Lord's work. But what we must do, we must always remember this, that everything that we do, it needs to benefit the Lord's work. It needs to benefit the Lord's work. Lot, he walked with God. He talked with God and he warned people about God. He warned his own family about God. But what happened? You know the story. The last night that they was in town, he was having to think about what he was going to have to say the next morning, because he knew his family didn't want to leave. He knew his wife did not want to leave. Because see, his family had gotten, they got used to what was going on. Lot hadn't gotten used to what's going on. Lot still wanted to do God's work. But he had his family to contend with. How many of us today have family that would just love for us not to come to church? And not to come down here and have fellowship. How many in my family would probably tell me the first week in June when I'm going to be here every night that week with the Lord's, by God's grace. And if I'm here, they're going to say, why are you going? Why are you wasting all of that time that you have when you could be at home? And then the next week you're going to rush trying to get everything to, straight at the house, get the yard straight, grass mowed and everything. That's just a difference. That's just a difference when you fall in love. And I says, when you fall in love with the Lord, you want to do for him. And when you fall in love with the Lord, you cannot fall out of love with him. When you fall in love with your spouse, you cannot fall out of love with your spouse. But a whole lot of people said, well,
I've been married for 7, 8 years, 10 or 15 years. But it's just something that, something missing there now. You know, I just don't have the same feeling that I had for them. I don't have the same love that I had for when we first started dating, when we first got married. They didn't make no commitment. They didn't make no commitment. Even today, when you get married today, and I'm going to close with this. When you get married today, you know what this, you know what they say? And they probably don't say it on the wedding day and right before they get married. They'll wait until they done left the church or left the place of where they got married at. And then they're on their honeymoon and everything. And then they get to thinking. Says, now, if you ever do this against me, I'll leave. What made them think of that? They love them. They love the world, buddy. They love other people more than they did their own spouse. Nobody can fall out of love if you have the same kind of love that the Lord Jesus Christ gives out. And that's that agape love. We got to have that agape love for the people, as God does for the people. The agape love. Lord Jesus, we ask, Father, now that you would just go with us tonight. Father, go with us to our respective homes. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you may give each one of us a name, Father, that we can call, or we can write a mail a card or something like that, Father. And just let them know that it's been a while since we've seen them. And we just want to know if they're doing okay. We don't need to preach to them. We just need to let them know that if they ever need us, all they have to do is pick up your phone and call us. Oh, Father, that's what Jesus told me that night that I got saved. He said, Donnie, if you ever need me, if you ever truly need me, you can call me on a direct line and you can talk to me. And I'll help you out. He does not say, he says, I'm going to help you out the best way I know how. No, he's going to say, I can help you out. He's not going to tell me, well, what the best way is for you. What the easiest way is for you. No. Thank you, Lord. We just pray. God, for Sunday, this coming Sunday, Father. The Lord, for the people that we've been praying about. Father, that the Holy Spirit will right now start working on their hearts and conveying unto them that yes, they need to be here Sunday. Father, because we do not know when you're going to return, but we do know that you are going to return. You don't know, Lord, but your Father in heaven, he knows. He knows when you're going to return. That's the only thing that I can find in Scripture, that the Father in heaven did not reveal to his Son. And why he didn't reveal that is because of the chances he's trying to give people. Father, we do thank you. We pray, Father, that someone will be saved this week and
and bring them into church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.